Good afternoon and welcome to another exciting installment in our weekly webinar series. This time out, we're looking at OT security and specifically what the top threats to OT environments are. But most importantly, that we're going to work through is how to mitigate them. OT and IoT systems are embedded in our everyday lives, whether directly or indirectly. And in fact, actually, if we look at IoT, the number of connected IoT devices is reported to be around 20 billion worldwide. But today we're talking specifically about OT, so operational technology. And although there are overlaps, securing OT is very much different to securing IT, and we're going to walk through some of that. So before I get started, and before we dive into that, I will introduce our co-host for today. So joining me today is Arne. So Arne is our OT practice lead at Integrity 360 and country manager for Integrity 360 France, which is now part of the Integrity 360 group. With a background in network engineering and a deep understanding of both IT and OT environments, and also having previously held the role of industrial control systems CISO at Energy in France, Arne plays a key role in helping organizations protect industrial systems and from emerging cyber threats. His focus spans governance, architecture, and secure design for critical infrastructure. So thank you, Arne, and welcome.
Thank you.
So let's have a look at our very brief agenda, and we're getting to the point today. So we're going to touch upon the OT security landscape and some of those threats, and then I'm going to hand over to Arne to go through the OT security weaknesses and how to address them. So really getting into his expertise. As always, we'll have a Q&A session at the very end of the webinar, so please don't hesitate to ask questions. You'll have a Q&A button at the bottom of your Zoom bar. So please pop your questions in, and myself and Arne, probably mostly Arne, we'll answer those at the end of our session. So let's jump in to some of the OT security threats and the OT security threat landscape. So we move on to our next slide. So in terms of OT threat landscape, I think it's clear that the stakes for OT security have never been higher. We've seen an uptick in attacks targeting OT and industrial control system environments. And this is most likely, I'd say, because of the impact that successful attacks can have on an organization and actually going, beyond the organization into customers and into people's daily lives. And obviously, from a ransomware perspective, this is giving great levers to be able to leverage against organizations to encourage the payment of ransoms. But this, very much spans, shall I say, multiple industries. Yes, we have utilities, which is probably the one that jumps to mind, as you'd expect, but also, fills into many other organizations and actually almost every organization, particularly when we consider the supply chains that can have a very much a knock-on effect. So obviously, we've got transportation, shipping, as an example, particularly if we look at retail and supply chain, obviously retail being able to automatically calculate stock and produce the baskets and trolleys that are needed to be able to fill our stores up. In the UK, we've obviously seen some very high-profile attacks against M&S and Co-op that have taken a fair while to be able to recover from. And actually, these have extended out beyond these organizations because they have a supply chain themselves. So, very much part of the chain. But also into healthcare as being an area that OT and IoT and industrial control systems very much is part of the practice there. And all those challenges that we'll touch upon very much apply. And on that last one, healthcare, Gartner predicted that this would lead to someone being killed through the compromise of OT environments in 2025. We've actually already seen deaths occur indirectly from compromises and ransoms of, in fact, actually hospitals, where we saw, I think it was in 2020 in Dusseldorf, a 78-year-old lady that couldn't be admitted to hospital because of all the systems were down that allowed that admission to happen. So we're already starting to see that, and the impact that can have with OT environments, could significantly worsen that. So let's have a look at some of the more recent cyber attacks that have been impacting OT environments. I'm not going to go through every single one, but I think we can see once we start looking through them, and I'll call out a few, that each and every one has a pretty serious impact. So looking at HAL at the top there, obviously the double extortion ransomware targeting the OT environment, delayed orders for 32 days. If we look at that M&S attack that we took, that I mentioned just a short while ago, that I believe they were down for, so when was it? It was the Easter weekend. They were on their website, and their ability to fulfill orders was impacted, which was costing them around 40 million a week and wiped half a billion off their share price. So you can see very quickly what effect that will have. If we sort of look at some of the other examples, I think a great one is Barnett's Couriers, which the attack on their systems led to bankruptcy and closure after 40 years. So it's not just an impact that is challenging to recover from. There are impacts that that are almost impossible to be able to recover from. And if we look at in Bologna in Italy, Ride Movie, which is obviously their fleet of bikes that can be hired through their app to get you around the city. Well, actually, an attack against those rendered 80% of that bike fleet damaged or unusable. So, as I said, across many different industries, we can see that the impact that it can have, and particularly feeding into things like critical national infrastructure that can have a significant impact on a country's ability to operate. Which I think, if we look at the geopolitical tensions that we have currently, it's a very apt and very important point that we shouldn't forget about. So if I just finish up really before I hand over to Arne to look at what are some of the challenges that are leading to organizations, particularly the OT and industrial control systems, being breached. And actually, primarily, we look at how they're changing. So, digitalization of industrial control systems. And really, a lot of that is being able to take advantage of modern or emerging technology. So, seeing some of the cloud computing abilities creeping into what were previously an entirely air-gapped environment. That ability to, or that need for big data crunching to be able to look at everything from understanding outputs, but also being able to model exactly when different parts of a supply chain or system are going to need replacing, so they can keep on top of that and minimize impact. Obviously, you've got the Internet of Things that is hugely sprawling. I mentioned at the start that currently it's reported to be 20 billion or almost 20 billion connected devices. I've actually seen estimates up to 75 billion, but I think they're looking much further into the future. Obviously, automation fits into everyday life. I mean, plenty of the large retailers in their supply chain and in their warehouses will have robots that are automatically doing the picking, which again, impacts orders. And the fact that we're now increasing that interconnectivity for those needs, and that really is being able to, or that need to be able to take advantage of those other digitalization points that I just touched upon. So that's some of the inputs into it. Some of those threats, well, as I said, we've seen an uptick and an increase of cyber attacks targeting OT and industrial control systems. And that's obviously being driven by the professionalization of cybercrime. So we saw with, I believe it was Grand Crab, but I might have that incorrect, but one of the main threat actor groups imploded, and we saw all of their internal information published, and we could see that they ran very much like any other organization in terms of their execution, and it was their business model. Our cyber attacks, increasingly becoming more complex, more sophisticated, and as I mentioned, OT and industrial assets are very much becoming a prime target because of that impact that they can have on an organization and on direct, indirectly, or directly. On the people that they serve. And as I said, that is a very powerful lever for threat actors to pull upon to encourage people to pay their ransoms. And we've seen examples of that where we've seen threats of breached utilities companies, water companies, where attackers are threatening to contaminate the water. Whether they have that capability or not, is questionable in some of those breaches. But it's important that that is the potential of what could happen. So that's really setting the scene on our threats, why it's important that we need to secure our OT and industrial control systems. So now I'll hand over to the true OT expert, and over to you, Arne.
Thank you, Richard. So good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being with us. I am pleased to be here with you to share some insights from our field experience in OT security. So I've spent many years along with my team auditing and securing OT plans and organizations throughout different kind of industry, from energy to transportation, environment, maritime, and so on and so forth. And then I'm happy to share with you those insights. To start with, here are some specific considerations, for OT environments first on your left. So as you can understand, the type of output is very different from the IT world. Here we are talking real-world impacts, such as public safety or operational continuity on nations' critical infrastructure. We see that changes related to system obsolescence is quite common into the OT environments. Much of those systems runs 24/7 and can't be upgraded easily and are here for decades. So using Windows XP is quite common in those environments, let alone all other kind of specific OT technologies. Also, there are often governance issues where you can find silos between IT division and the divisions who has in charge those OT systems, mainly operational divisions or engineering divisions, and they don't talk to each other well on that front usually. So that's the main aspect I will elaborate later on. And then, as in IT, but even more in OT ecosystems, there is a strong dependencies to vendors that are providing specific OT systems package to the clients, and then mostly the big industry are locked in with those vendors for many years, and in most cases, we don't have a clear view of the security posture and maturity of those vendors. And then we already talk about the supply chain risk in terms of cybersecurity. Now it is a real concern here for OT ecosystems. And obviously, as you may know, the legacy proprietary technologies that we can find in those environments were designed back in the day, but without the cybersecurity in mind. So now we have all those kind of systems with all kinds of vulnerability to cope with. So from our field experience throughout the years, we have encountered those top six common weaknesses that you can find on your right that we can find into OT plants, OT environments. That I will elaborate later on. So the top six I would define as the lack of segmentations and flow management to master and secure the different assets speaking to each other. Then the unpatched systems, as you know, with the obsolescence difficulties and stakes, those systems can't be easily upgraded or patched for critical vulnerabilities, and then we are living with those vulnerabilities within those OT environments. Obviously, the lack of inventory is kind of common. In IT world, it's already difficult to have a fully detailed inventory of all your assets, but then in OT, usually it's even more difficult to have something useful, and and we all know that for cybersecurity aspects, at least for doing some risk analysis or to manage any cybersecurity incidents, Not knowing your inventory is quite difficult to have a proper cybersecurity management. And then, as you may know, some those assets are not well protected against malware, and we know that the malware risk is now one of the top three or even top one risk, especially when we are talking about ransomware today. So we are quite exposed here. The fifth one would be the lack of hardening, meaning that all those assets would run with unnecessary services on it. There would be weak account management and weak password management, and so on and so forth. And then the sixth ones would be the unsecured remote access that I will elaborate later on. From what have been shared previously, I think the message is quite clear. OT cybersecurity is now a board level concern. It's about continuity, public safety, and even nationwide stakes, as you understood. So these weaknesses mentioned previously are often the entry points for attackers, and addressing them doesn't require much innovations, but rather, I would say, prioritization, governance, and visibility. But then protecting OT requires a really deep understanding of these operational realities and constraints from the field, not just applying some IT style solutions, I would say, from a cybersecurity perspective, but more than ever, finding a good balance between cyber risk and operational risk or business stakes is key here. So in the rest of these sessions, throughout the top six vulnerabilities, we'll look at practical approaches and recommendations to mitigate those risks. So the first one, as I mentioned, a really, really common one, the lack of segmentation and flow management into those environments. So main observations from the field is there is first no segregation between OT networks first and all external networks. So to start with the IT networks, the corporate IT networks, where we need to pull out now process and supervision data for performance purpose, data analytics, building predictive maintenance, and so on and so forth. But then it is one of the main entry point to reach the OT network. And then you will have all external accesses for legitimate purpose, such as remote maintenance from the OT vendors, providing the OT systems package, but mostly they can be unknown to the knowledge of the plant managers. I have found already some like 4G dedicated access directly to OT assets through a simple dongle, not known by the plant managers. So for the vendors, we didn't know the level. The risk is that we didn't know the level of security of those remote access. So we are relying on their security posture, but we don't know it exactly. And we know already that the supply chain risk is a critical vulnerability in modern cybersecurity, and especially in OT world. For other kind of external assets, it would be some crafted remote access. So obviously there isn't much security here by design, I mean. So the risk is that sensitive or critical assets are exposed to less trusted zones. And then when reaching to OT networks, any assets is kind of a pivot point for lateral movement or for more simpler use case or ransomware could, like NotPetya, could spread across very easily. So main recommendations here are to implement network zoning following the IEC 62443 frameworks. So it means by separating the OT environments into different logical zones, for example, operations control zone, the safety zone, and so on and so forth. And we've defined conduits. It's a term used in these frameworks, meaning defining how each zone would speak to the other ones, and to restrain it to the least privilege. principles to be sure what is communicating with what, because mostly, as said previously, all those networks are flat networks, and then we should implement some in-depth security approach. And then, when you understand you have defined all those zone and conduits, then you can obviously implement solutions, security solutions such as firewalls, dedicated for OT environments. So it's not any kind of firewall that would work here. There is specific firewalls that knows how to deep inspect the specific OT protocols to be relevant and efficient when we want to master the communication flows between OT assets. And the main points to have here in mind is that we need absolutely to find a good balance between the cybersecurity risk and the operational risk, meaning that we can't accept that firewalls would imply or induce any risk, disruption risk. So it's a really, really, really tricky task here. And you really need to work with the on-site engineering staff that knows very well the process and then the OT assets from the technical points, so that you can define those zone and conduits specifically and to avoid those operational risk, to be efficient on that front. And then obviously, I've talked about different layers between from IT to the OT networks. I will elaborate more later on the Purview model, but then you will also need to have a horizontal segmentation between OT subnetworks between each other. Then for the second vulnerabilities, we have identified the unpatched systems. So those systems, HMIs, PLCs, SCADA servers, often runs for decades without being updated or patched due to uptime constraints, or in some cases, vendor restrictions that would not allow us to update those systems. So here, zero-day exploitation is not needed. Attackers just need to rely on all CVEs, so all vulnerabilities. So known vulnerabilities remain exploitable years later. So if we take the example of BlueKeep or Eternal Blue back in 2019, if I remember well, illustrate that unpatched systems are vulnerable years later. Maintenance teams are not usually informed about those vulnerabilities, or if they are, they may fear system downtime because they are fearing that applying some patches would induce an operational risk or downtime. So it's also key here to balance operational risk with the cybersecurity risk. So how to manage that? We need to develop a specific OT patch management policy with a risk-based approach, meaning that we can't patch the whole scope. We will need to focus first on the most critical assets and for the most critical vulnerabilities first. And you would need to define some specific policies, notably regarding the timeline requirements. So we can't patch OT assets as fast as in IT world. And then we would need to stretch those timelines in the times, obviously with compensatory controls, because we cannot just saying we will postpone it, but then those policies need to take into account those specific constraints. In some cases, you need to wait for the yearly maintenance windows to be able to patch those systems. So we need to have a specific policies on that. And mostly, you would need to onboard the people from the plant, so industrial process and engineering people, as well as the vendors into the patch management end-to-end process, because they are the ones that knows how to assess the impacts to assess the practicality of the remediations, because in some cases it's not the patching to be done, but it's an upgrade of the systems. And then when we are seeing upgrading those OT assets, it will mean some projects, big projects, because it's not that easy to just upgrade one asset. It's as it is all interconnected with its OT ecosystems. It will induce some compatibility issues that needs to be coped with before even thinking about upgrading those systems. So we need those people throughout the process, from the beginning to the remediation implementation, because otherwise you won't be able to do anything regarding patching or upgrading those systems to secure them. And if you can, you would need to test those patches first in the staging environments before deployment. Obviously, it's already done in IT environments, mostly, I would say. But in OT, you would need some staging environments with the duplicate OT assets to test them. And in some cases, you would need to work with the vendors for them to test it in on their site first, to give you some insights on what should be done, what can be done, what are the balance between the cybersecurity risk and the operational risk. And then when patching is not possible, you would need to obviously apply some compensating controls, mostly perimeter defense mechanisms, to live with those vulnerabilities, but then securing them from a perimeter perspective. For the third one, lack of inventory and monitoring, this one is also a common one. So mostly we would have incomplete or a missing visibility of the OT assets. So you could have some inventory, but then you would not have detailed inventory for you to have a proper cybersecurity management. When I say detailed inventory, is having informations regarding the firmware versions, the operating system versions, and so on and so forth, the software installed on those assets when we are talking about Windows-based assets. But then when we are talking about other kind of assets, such as the PLC and so on and so forth, here we are talking about firmware versions. And then we know that there is more and more vulnerabilities for those kind of assets. And if you don't know what you have in hands at the OT size, obviously you can't protect them. And we know that inventory is basics for risk analysis to build a security program, or they are mandatory if you want to manage any incidents related to cybersecurity. So it's often due to fragmented ownerships between IT and OT. So looping back to this governance issue I mentioned previously. Mostly vendors may not document what they install on your site, or they may deliver some kind of inventory or schematics, but it would be lost in times because there is no clear responsibility to manage them throughout the times. So here, what can be done besides doing some manual inventory on site? You can use and leverage some passive asset discovery tools, such as probes, that is dedicated for OT environments. So those probes are mostly firstly built for monitoring, for network monitoring, but then at the first step, they can help you map the OT assets of your environments. And when I say passive, it is very important because those solutions are meant to do the scan without disrupting the operations. And there are solutions on the market, such as you can find Fortinet, you can find TXT1 also, and so on and so forth. So those solutions are dedicated for OT environment. They know the specific constraints, but you need to first test it to be sure that it is compatible with your environment. And then doing one inventory at one time wouldn't be sufficient. You need to maintain it throughout the time. So you need to build a centralized and detailed OT asset inventory. Sometimes the business and the operators would already have a CMMS, so a computerized maintenance management systems. But mostly, it's kind of a data asset database, but not with the fine-grained detail needed for proper cybersecurity management. So then you would need to build a complementary tool, ideally connected to the CMMS, and you would need to define who is responsible of each type of assets if you want them to be managed throughout the times and to have those inventory kept updated. And yeah, from an organizational perspective, you would also need to implement requirements into the change management process that you usually find in OT environments, but then you would need specific requirements regarding asset inventory and schematic updates. So to be sure that for each change, there will be an update of those systems if you don't have yet automatic systems to make your asset discovery. For unprotected assets against malwares, OT devices are often not protected by endpoint security, or they would use outdated antivirus solutions, and mostly incompatible or not working anymore with old Windows versions. So here I'm talking about all Windows-based assets, obviously. You may well know the Stuxnet scenario attack, which relied mostly on malware targeting both the SCADA systems, so the Windows-based assets, and also the PLCs. And in this case, the malware entered through an USB key, even if the plant was air-gapped. But then through the USB key, the malware could reach the OT environments. So even isolated systems need defense against that. In some cases, antivirus solutions are often seen by the operatives as some kind of intrusive or resource-consuming for industrial assets. And we know that those assets can be quite sensitive to resource consumptions. So then how to cope with this risk? You have some OT compatible antivirus solutions on the market. I can name some such as AZ or TXone. So they have been developed specifically for all Windows versions. So they are still working on them and they are still maintained for some of those solutions. So that would be the way to secure at the endpoints. Or otherwise, you could use what we call sanitization stations. So it would need for you to scan any removable medias before connecting them to the critical OT assets. So there is either you can scan it on any antivirus on an IT assets first, dedicated, hardened, but then you have specific solutions on the market that is purely developed for OT environments, hardened, and that would help you to control and scan those USB keys or removable media before connecting to the OT assets. And on top of that, besides the technical solutions, you would need also, you could add some organizational measures, such as blocking USB ports when they are not needed, obviously, or use dedicated USB keys for all those legitimate USB use case on those environments. But then it would be an organizational layer on top of the technical aspects, obviously, because the technical won't be enough in any case. Then the lack of hardening. So hardening here means mostly where you would have OT systems that are often deployed with default configurations, so with unused services, open ports, weak credentials, outdated protocols such as Telnet or SMB V1, for example. They are easily exploited by any automated tools or malware, leading to rapid compromission. Those systems, from a hardening perspective, first you could work on strengthening first the account management, the account use on those assets. Mostly there would be shared accounts with obvious names, I would say, obvious ID, and from a password perspective, if there are passwords, there is a password, it is an easy one or written on the post-it behind the screen. So here you can do some hardening first, but it needs to be done, worked and defined with the operatives on site, obviously, because in some cases, you still need to be sure that those assets are accessible to manage the process. So here, always you would always need to find a good balance. Otherwise, there is some specific hardening guides that could be used. The first one from the IEC 62443, obviously. The NIST also provides some hardening guides. The CIS benchmark that is dedicated for IT but can be used on OT environments for part of it, for all Windows or Linux-based operating systems. So these are some guidelines to pick from. And in some cases, the vendors who provide those OT systems would also have some hardening guides. Schneider provides them, Siemens and Rockwell also. So those are the source for you to build from. But then you would need to test them, obviously, to be sure that implementing some hardening rules would not impinge or induce any operational risk and impinge those systems to work properly. And for the last one, the unsecured remote access. So as said previously, we have more and more implemented remote access, mostly for remote maintenance from the vendors, but with little oversight or security control. In some cases, those vendors would connect remotely without the plans knowing that he's doing maintenance, maybe for legitimate access, but then, as said, the supply chain risk is here even more than ever. So those external parties can reach directly those OT environments. What would be the recommendation here? Implement JEM servers with strict access control, not direct access control such as RDP or so on and so forth. Enforce MFA for those remote access because mostly those access would have privileged access on those assets. So you need some kind of MFA here. Log and monitor, even record those sessions. And review access loss regularly, and limit the remote access to what is really needed. So, for a specific time frame, for specific assets, for specific protocols, and to identify authorized users only. So all those functionalities can be found in administration bastion. That encompasses all those measures and functionalities, and some have been developed for the OT environment specifically. So that would help you to secure those remote access, even if your external vendors is saying we have a secured VPN to access your access, but your assets, but then you don't have any clear view of their security levels. from the remote access perspective or even on their endpoints and on their sites. So here is a quick view of, as you may know, the Podio model, which is the schematic of a generic secured network of OT environments. So you have different level. It is layered to organize the industrial control systems from the physical process on the bottom to the enterprise IT at the top. It helps structure your security zones and manage the data flows between the different zones from the OT to the IT. And then we have here schematics that would give some insights to where those kind of solutions from a technical perspective, so cybersecurity solutions, would rely and be induced within those in those OT environments. So you have all the aforementioned solutions that we have discussed previously here projected on those environments. Obviously, it's a generic approach that would need to be adapted for each context, but give you some insights to where those assets could be implemented into those environments. And I've talked much about technical aspects, but I would add some key organizational recommendation because IT won't do all, I would say, from a cybersecurity perspective, and specifically in OT environments. You would need to work, as mentioned previously, on the governance issue first, because mostly in those industry, the IT, the OT world is separated. They are siloed, and the responsibility for the OT environments is mostly not on the IT, I would say, radar, but then it's under the operational or engineering divisions. And going to over those OT environments to secure them can be tricky if the roles and responsibilities are not well defined, and if the governance around the cybersecurity for those OT environments, so building an OT IT governance, joint OT IT governance is key. It's not simple, but it's doable. We've done that in different use cases. You would need to build trust with the business parts, so operational or engineering divisions, to have some kind of relay out there, and to have some kind of sponsor to open doors for you to go over the OT environments and to start building cybersecurity programs. And then you would need to define clear roles and responsibilities finally to say who is in charge of each assets in terms of maintenance first, and not talking about cybersecurity already, but who is in charge of each assets to maintain them. Usually you would have some no man's lands for some part of the OT assets. So before starting a journey, you would need to define at least a target RACI, so target roles and responsibilities metrics, to know the targets and to build from that. As mentioned regarding the supply chain risk, here with the strong dependency to the OT vendors, you would definitely need to manage your third party risk management over those vendors. So assessing their security maturity level, implementing some contractual cybersecurity requirements into the maintenance contracts. So usually you would have multi-years contracts. So if you have a windows to build to update the contracts, you should use it to implement and to have those discussions with the vendors to help to have them improve their security postures as you know the risk. Obviously, you would also need some awareness. So awareness in IT environments is already key, but it's even more key in OT environments. at every level, from the exec to the operatives at the plants, for them to understand what is at risk, what is the stakes. We've done, for example, some hacking demonstrations on OT assets and environments, such that you can find some example behind me. It's very impacting for them to understand that it is feasible. You can attack those assets, how it can unfold into OT environments, and then also how you can secure them properly. And then, as a first start, you would need some risk assessments for you to build your cybersecurity program. Obviously, you would need to onboard all the business staff for all the business part of your risk assessments, understanding the process, the organizations, the main OT functions, what are the field events, but deeply from an OT perspective. If you want to have a proper and detailed risk assessments to use up to you, the executive committee, to raise awareness around the risk and then open doors to any cybersecurity programs and find funds and budgets to start your OT security journey. And as mentioned by Richard at the beginning, you would need to have now a holistic and global approach to security, because now, as said, all is interconnected: IT, the OT world, and the IoT, and also the physical security. All is interconnected, or would rely each upon others. And you would need to approach this risk from this global approach if you want to be pertinent, coherent into your OT cybersecurity program, and from a more perspective, global perspective, from for your cybersecurity posture.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Arne. So that concludes the talk for today. But we're going to jump into the Q&A as we've got some questions in. But actually, before we jump into those, Arne, I've got a question myself, actually, from that last slide. I think it was your second to last point talking about OT risk assessments. Just in your experience, both with from a consultancy side, but also working in businesses, is that something that's well done and repeated, or is that something that's very much lacking, doing that OT risk assessment and being fully aware of the challenges?
Yeah, usually when an industry starts their OT security journey, they have usually already some maturity level for the IT part, and then they are starting to discover the OT world, but they don't know necessarily how or where to start. And then we would advise them to first doing some awareness, as said, to open the minds of the executive committee to say, okay, you have some risk. We will help you to discover them, and we could start with the risk assessments or a global security audit for one plant, for example. There's a plant that would be, I would say, would be have a an interesting feedbacks for them, because it is a critical one or is a main one. And then doing this first sample audits on this environment, so at a global level for our plants, could share some first insights in terms of risk for them. And doing the audit, which we would these assessments, we would also provide some first guidelines to say to the executive committee, okay, you have some risk. Be aware that you have those kind of risks. What is at stake here? But here you we you you we can help you on that journey, because there is things to do to secure them, and we have those kind of I would say experience to provide and to support you. But the first point would be indeed awareness sessions, open doors to the business staff, and then doing some risk assessments and audits to start the program.
Yeah. So I suppose with all things, if you don't do that risk assessment, you can't really make it tangible, and you're not going to unlock that budget and funds to be able to achieve the security objectives around OT if it's not eminently as a tangible and if the exec aren't aware of those risks.
Exactly. Usually, you would have the operative saying, "How can you access my site because there is physical security and so on and so forth?" I don't really understand how you can manage to reach our OT assets, and then doing some risk assessments and audit with technical aspects into the audit. So that's why I'm saying the global audits with organizational but technical aspects would give some material aspects. Practical aspects of how it could happen, and it's very impactful, usually.
Yeah. So we'll jump into some of the audience questions, and I'll stop asking questions. So the first question we have is, how would you recommend identifying vulnerabilities when active scanning is not an option? So I assume this is vulnerabilities in an OT environment.
Very good question. So active scan is obviously very tricky. So as mentioned, we would prefer passive scan, but then you wouldn't have any more detailed information regarding vulnerabilities. So then you have some solutions such as a one that I have already used in OT environments, which is specific solutions for those environments. It's a USB key that would have a specific tool on it to make an inventory of what is installed on an Windows-based OT assets, obviously. So it would fetch all information regarding the OS versions and all KBs around it, all applications informations, their versions, and so on and so forth. And then you would map it with any vulnerability database to see what is at stake here. So it's manual solutions that needs to be used unitarily on each assets. But then you can centralize it into a single database to have a proper management of what is install on those assets, and then what would be the vulnerability that they are exposed to.
Yeah, I suppose the other thing that I suppose there's passively monitoring network traffic to discover devices on there in terms of the inventory and their software levels using tools like Armis and others to do that as well. So the next question we've got here is how do you identify? Actually, very similar. How do you identify weak account default configurations or unused services without manually checking every device in the environment? So that must be quite challenging, because the easy way to do that is to scan. But as you mentioned there, and as most people know, scanning of critical infrastructure, particularly delicate infrastructure, can lead to falling over and creating that impact you're trying to avoid.
So I would have some the same kind of approach. So avoiding any manual approach would be difficult. You need to go on those assets one by one. So either by doing some MS-DOS command or scripting it, or using these USB keys specific solutions that I mentioned. That can fetch those informations. I didn't mention it, but it can also fetch all things around the accounts on those assets. So it would help you at least for each assets to not doing fully manually, but then you would still need to go assets by assets.
Yeah, I suppose to come back to that very first thing, I think it was one of the first things that you talked about. It might have been on the second thing, but you can't protect what you don't know. So, being able to maintain an asset register or a CMDB or CMMS is critically important to anything you do. So, I'd probably say that's a foundational element of OT security. There was a question, say, what's your one recommendation to focus on to mitigate OT threats? I'd probably say it is that foundational element of an inventory, but I don't know if you've got a different answer to that, Arne.
Yeah, that would be one of the choosing one could be difficult, but I think I finish with the governance and organizational aspects, but we need to start with that first before going into technical aspects. You need first to have the executive committee on board, to have people understanding the risk and to materialize it first. So that's why I talk about audit or risk assessments. If you don't do that, you could do some bits and pieces, but you won't have a proper cybersecurity program in the long run. And we know that in those environments, it's multi-years projects or programs. But you can reach some good first security level if you have already the good people and divisions and sponsor on board. So mostly organizational aspects first, and then obviously you would need to start with an IT an inventory. But yeah, I think I would insist on the organizational aspects.
Yeah. So I've got one more question that I think I'll answer very quickly, and then want to move on to a comment we received, which I'll just relay back to you on. So the question was, how will the acquisition of Helysium fit into i360 provided service? Obviously, Arne is a founder and director of Helysium, focused on OT security, which are fitting in to build our OT. And is our OT center of excellence and practice. And obviously there will be crisscrosses into our other services so that we can utilize their expertise across the board. The last sort of statement actually we had from Roger Bevan. It's great when we get people that aren't posting anonymously. And it says, it's not a question, but a big thank you to Arne for delivering such an excellent presentation on OT security and risk awareness. It truly validated my thoughts and reinforced what I need to do to improve the OT security posture at my workplace, which is brilliant. That's great feedback. So if anybody wants to dive deeper on this with Arne, please don't hesitate to reach out to your account manager and we can organize that. So with that, we're just approaching the hour, as we'd like to keep these under an hour where possible. So I'm going to say thank you very much to Arne for joining me today to walk us through OT security threats and weaknesses. And lastly, thank everybody for joining today. Thank you.
Everyone. Bye-bye.